Blog Talk Radio.
imagine how that sounds to the Father when we say to Him, all I want is You. We live in a nation that seems to want to turn its back on God, but there's a people who are crying out and saying, all I want, I'm not after the blessings, I'm not after the things, I'm after the presence of God. All I want. Because when you get God, you get everything else that you need. All I want is You, Lord. You can seek after things but miss God. But if you seek after God, the things will come. All I want. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm desperate for You, oh Lord. I can't live one day without the presence.
Yeah! That's what you say when you're called and chosen. Hallelujah.
Come on, say it to him again. We say.
Hard times,
yes,
to the glory time.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the living, loving Lord. I was blessed with that song when I first heard it a year or so ago, and I picked it for tonight because that's what our hearts need to be saying, and our lips need to be saying towards the Lord if we're called and chosen. You're going to find out tonight what called and chosen means. But I thought that song, I Surrender All, Withholding Nothing, how appropriate those words are to sing before the Lord as a chosen vessel, as a called out vessel. So we give God all the praise, honor, and all the glory tonight. Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm your director tonight, Seer Evangelist Linda Caceres, and I'm honored to have my daughter on tonight, Minister Shawnee Caceres Banks. Right now, her husband is being interviewed on PBS channel, and because he was part of a production of a movie that was made on Camden, New Jersey. And so we won't be watching him tonight. I would like to see if I could record it, but I couldn't find it, date from him. But anyway, we ask God to just bless them as they're interviewed, all those producers of the movie that they made, that they would be blessed in the name of Jesus. So right now I'd like to bring us before the throne of grace to ask God to minister to you through my daughter tonight, through the anointing that's on her life, and through this broadcast in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we come before you. We humble ourselves before your mighty hand, Lord God. We ask, God, that you would look upon us with divine favor and grace. Lord, you said we have new mercies every morning. So when we woke up this morning, we had mercy. So we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you would move by your Holy Spirit in this podcast. We ask, God, that you would beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint Shawnee, that you would give her exactly what this hearing audience, this listening audience needs to hear tonight on this topic, called and chosen. For God, we need to be called and chosen in this hour. Many walk in deception, Lord, deceived by so much. Deceived by the enemy, Lord God, deceived by people. And Lord, we just ask God to be delivered from deception. We ask God that we would walk in the light as you are in the light and have fellowship with you and no fellowship with darkness, as your word clearly says. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity one more time to bring a word from the scriptures, Lord God, through the airways and the frequencies, Lord God. God, that you would line the airways and the frequencies with your holy angels. That, Lord, that they would provide perfection and through this broadcast frequency, Lord God, and cause it to be broadcasted without interference. We ask, God, that you would anoint and touch the heart of every listener, whether they've called in or streaming in, that they would receive what thus saith the Lord, that you would give all of us an ear to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us this evening. I thank you, Lord, for allowing this platform again to come forth to bring glory to your name. Lord, use Shawnee like never before. Use her for your honor. Use her for your glory. Strengthen her, Lord God. Heal her, Lord. Heal her heart. Heal her body in the name of Jesus. Lord, do it for all of those listeners as well. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for hearing us tonight, for looking upon us with your favor, unmerited favor. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, praise God. I'm excited tonight to hear what thus saith the Lord through my daughter. I'm always excited to have her on the podcast. And right now I'm just going to give a shout-out to the nations that are listening. So I'm amazed at all the nations that are streaming from time to time. It's too expensive for them to call in, so they stream in. And I can see on the map that I have where they're streaming in from. So I want to give a shout-out to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Spain, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Uganda, Myanmar, Burma, Bulgaria, Iraq, Romania, Cameroon, Lithuania, Ukraine, Poland, Austria, Denmark, Portugal. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. We ask God to bless these nations, Lord, that I'm calling out. Lord, to crush the coronavirus in all these nations, including the United States of America. Lord, cover China, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru, Australia, Bangladesh, France, Germany, Togo, Netherlands, Tobago, Norway, Ireland, South Korea, London, the Ukraine, Canada, Israel, Republic of Serbia, Ghana, Sweden, Trinidad, Vietnam, Egypt. Cover them in the blood of your Son, Jesus. Have mercy on them, Lord. Send the Holy Spirit, Lord, into these nations to draw them to Christ. Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, South Africa, Philippines, Kenya, Belgium, Pakistan, Malaysia, Nigeria, Argentina, Russia, New Zealand, India, Greece, Somalia, Russia, Namibia, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, cover them in the blood of Jesus. Lord, have mercy on these nations, Lord. Crush that coronavirus down beneath the earth in these nations and our nation as well in the name of Jesus. Japan, Barbados, Croatia, Nicaragua, Slovakia, Venezuela, Turkey, and this great nation that was great when the Native Americans were living on it, before it was ever walked upon by Caucasian men with Columbus. They need to change the history books because the Native Americans were here in America long before Columbus came to this nation. So, Lord, we thank you for all these nations that join us from time to time, whatever your time zone is, morning, noon, or night. We ask that you would be blessed by this word tonight. Thank you for joining us from other nations. This nation of the United States of America was not made great by no man or no woman. It doesn't need to be made great again. It's always been great. We failed God just like every other nation. And the Lord looks upon us with his mercy. So, Father, we ask that you would go through every zip code in this nation, every city, state, Lord God, every area, and have mercy, especially on Louisiana that's been crushed by the last two hurricanes. Those that have had members in their family die, pass away of COVID-19, we ask God that you would bring comfort to the family members, to the mothers, the fathers, the children, the grandmoms and the pop-ups. We ask God that you would bring comfort to them. We thank you for keeping us, Lord God, surrounding us, Lord God, and keeping us well in this time of this barbaric sickness going around in the earth. God, thank you for getting our attention during this time, bringing us closer to you. Those that haven't drawn closer to you, we ask God that you would send the Holy Spirit to them, that they would draw closer to you. The backslider would come back, Lord God, and that everyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would be drawn closer to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my family safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. I bind every weapon formed against this broadcast, every listener and their family members, and my family. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the power of the Holy Ghost upon those that are listening, upon Shawnee, upon my family, upon her children, upon our friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask God for your holy angels from the third heaven to surround us wherever we are, and those that are in our family, and those things that you've allowed us to have in life. Surround with your holy angels, Lord Jesus, and guide, guard, and protect us in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. So I thank all the callers that have called in tonight. Praise God. And those that are streaming in, thank you for joining us at Gatekeepers Global Podcast. We do have a website at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry that you can go to any time, and there's 12 or 13 pages of different topics, ministry, just from the Word of God, because this is all about the Word, nothing but the Word. Nothing but the words from the Scripture of Jesus. And that's what every broadcast is about. And there's about 10 on each page where you can enjoy some of them short, some of them long, some of them an hour, some of them 2 hours, some 3 hours. But it will bless you. If you get discouraged, scroll down and look for ministry. If you're hurting, scroll down on the pages and look for ministry. If you just want to be revived in your soul, go to that website and scroll down, and you'll find something that will minister to you, I guarantee you. So thank you again for joining us. I'm Shawnee's mother. I'm mom to her. I'm seer evangelist Linda Cazares, and I'm going to open her mic right now, and I'm blessed to have her on. I just thank God for you, Shawnee. I'm honored to have you on tonight. I think this topic is just perfect for this time. Your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you. I love you too. God bless you. I just want to give honor to God and ask him to humble me right now in the name of Jesus, because it is not me, but him working through me to speak to the nations tonight. I thank God for this platform and using my mother to create it and make it available to nations of people to be able to hear and receive what God is saying for this now time and this designated moment, which is divine, where he's showing himself true and proving his word to us as we can visualize it with the natural eye and internalize it with the spiritual eye and discern it through the word of God, which he has put there before us, but in us, those who seek it, receive it, observe it, and absorb it. So let us, Lord God, open up our ears, our spiritual ears, to be able to receive what you're saying, what your Holy Ghost has designed to put on my heart right now in the name of Jesus. I just thank God. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I just make myself as a vessel willing and available to you, Lord God, to be used by your glory and your will, because I was called and chosen. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to let the masses know that God put this on my heart to make all of you who have been called and chosen, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth, know that you are called, and by answering it, you are chosen at the same time. But there's still a difference of being called, the called, and the chosen. So I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 22. It was the wedding banquet. It's the parable of the wedding banquet. And it starts, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the wedding banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. What a impacting scripture. For many are invited, but few are chosen. And I just want to tell you what that means. See, when Jesus used the parable, it was to exemplify a remarkable statement by challenging facts and assumptions. See, Jesus did not teach in parables to provide a blanket of information for the way we understand God and ourselves as a people, but he taught in parables to invite us to reexamine some of our most cherished convictions about matters of an eternal importance. For this reason, Jesus often unsettled rather than reassured. And I look at that as Jesus stirring up something in us to make us thirsty to go after more information concerning him. Jesus' parable of the wedding feast does just that. You should want to know the difference between being called and chosen. And I want to tell you tonight, you can be both at the same time. The parable, like others, is about the kingdom of heaven. And the story talks about a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. The wedding feast is widespread as a significant story in the Bible, which ultimately is a day when God will gather all his redeemed and they will enjoy his presence and complete holiness and joy. See, invitations go out, but all will not accept the invitations. All will not extend. See, the chosen were, the invitation went out to the Jews. Ultimately, the king prepared, ultimately, at the end of the day, the parable is talking about the Jews. They were invited. They were called. All did not accept the invitation, where when the king tells the servants to go out and just gather up everyone, invite everyone, they are the Gentiles. The non-Jews. See, God chose people, and then through Jesus coming and dying for us, called all of us into salvation. See, this is an invitation to salvation. Jesus is describing an offer here of the gospel of salvation, the eternal life, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The Jewish nation had decisively rejected the offer that God made to them through his prophets. For that rejection, Jesus announces the judgment, God's judgment that he will bring upon them, the Roman army's destruction and of Jerusalem in 70 AD. God's providence that rejected the occasion of the gospel being extended to the Gentiles. The result is that the wedding hall was filled with guests. Whether a Jew or a Gentile accepted the invitation and being present at the wedding banquet, he gave everyone an invitation at the end of the day. See, then something unexpected happens. The king joined, and there was a man who wasn't dressed properly, who had on no wedding garment. Have you ever been to the cookout just because Cousin Ray Ray was there? He wasn't really your cousin, but you saw all the food that had been prepared and you were hungry, so you just came in and sat down, but really the family didn't know who you were. The king orders his attendants at that time to bind this man's hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. He didn't just say outside on the avenue, on the street, or on the pavement, into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, that there is very significant, where God is speaking about something greater than just being cast out of a celebration. We discern this by having a relationship with God and being filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's how the Holy Spirit tells us and gives us the revelation of his word. A man who can give no reason, and see, when the king asked him, why aren't you dressed properly, the man didn't give a reason. He was speechless. And a man who can give no reason why he has no garment, he discovers that, like, why he couldn't even say why he was there but not dressed properly. See, this was a wedding banquet, and we dress in our Sunday best to attend weddings, don't we? Amen? So he orders his servants to bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. in a place that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus ends the story by pronouncing it, summarizes the parable's meaning, for the many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. To answer, we must understand what Jesus means by the call and the chosen. See, the word call runs through the parable. And in the Greek text, call, those had been called to the feast, which were the Jews, the invitees, the called ones. The servants then are commanded to call the Gentiles also. The word translated call in verse 14 is saying, like the word family is translated called in verses 4, 3, 4, 8, and 9. This helps us to understand the nature of the call in the parable. The God, through his servants, the prophets in the Old Testament, ministers in the New Testament, where this call bids hearers to repent and believe the good news of the gospel, which the servants and the prophets proclaim through Jesus Christ, his death, ministry, like his and his resurrection, shedding his blood upon Calvary. But that whole experience of his ministry and going to the cross, God, he used the parable before that for the invitation to the called and being chosen by the Gentiles, through the Gentiles and the Jews. See, we're all called to salvation. We're all given an invitation to accept Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Savior. Only we can do that is by faith, believing, but also being drawn through God's Spirit. Because the Word also says that no man can come to me unless I draw him. The next part of my teaching is going to be how God secures that being chosen through his word in Revelations, where he says that, you know, when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is before the foundation of the earth. It is all written there. And those who persevere will not be blotted out. And if you take that literally, you will think that it's there and you can be. But real quick, stop there and don't think that way. Because when it's there for a reason, because God secures that those names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will conquer. And your name is there because you will receive victory in the end, get a new garment, and wear the name. Because God, Shonae's not really, that's the name my mom gave me. But there's a name that God gave me, and he sees me as who he sees me as. And the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is not Shonae, Janine Tazarus, probably. It's the new name that he has given me. And I will wear a new garment on that day that will be spotless because of the cleansing blood of the Lamb that was slain on Calvary, Jesus Christ. We're justified. And this, presumably, the invitation was, you know, just to the Jews, but the invitation goes out to the entire world, the Jews and the Gentiles. We all have the opportunity to accept Christ, but we won't. There will be many who won't respond to the invitation. Maybe they say, well, not right now, or in my timing. But God's timing is now. And if you understand the word now, when it's used in the Bible, it doesn't mean now as in the Bible. It means now as in now. Now is always a fresh moment. Now faith. It's the substance. That means right now, not just in that scripture, and at the time that that was written, it means now, today. Who are the chosen? The chosen are who sincerely respond to the call. That's what makes you called and chosen at the same time. When you're called, you accept the invitation sincerely and respond to the call in Jesus Christ by faith. Because Jesus calls them the chosen, and in the Greek, that's translated as the elect. These are all whom the Father has chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And only these chosen will constitute the company of the redeemed when Jesus Christ returns in glory. God's eternal choice ensures that they will respond sincerely to the call. See, that's why the word says before the foundation of the earth, your name is already there. Because his will is, when he wills it, it's going to be, it's going to come into fruition that they who are called will respond sincerely to the call. And since the New Testament elsewhere joins the calling with the election, and that's in 2 Timothy 1:9 and Romans 8:30. What does Jesus mean when he says, by some are called but not chosen? The external cause goes to all the people, but only the elect experience the internal call. That's the draw that God says, no man can come unless drawn by me. That's the internal. The distinction to necessarily understand the way the Bible or the writers speak of the call is in the parable that Jesus speaks in the call, but in an external sense, the invocation, but the internal sense as the exception of the invitation, the call to salvation. And that's a summons from God, where God's spirit draws you in, and the challenge is the accepting the internal cause by way of Christ, repentance, and faith. And it's a responsibility, you know, once accepting, you know, the call and accepting salvation, is that letting your faith in Christ direct your path, and that you exemplify your salvation through to people who are not saved. That will draw them in by your example of walking with Christ and accepting the invitation of salvation. We powerfully impact those who are observing our walk and our relationship with him. The internal call powerfully accepts and effectively turns the sinner from his sin and to Jesus Christ. The external call goes to all, but the internal call of accepting it, the invitation, powerfully turns a sinner from his sin to Christ. The gospel indeed is the power of God unto salvation. And we accept this call through faith, a belief in the relationship that we begin with God by accepting the invitation to salvation, accepting Christ into our life to govern, our paths, our steps, and absorbing the word of God that he's given and teaching us how to move in his will and by his spirit. There's no power within ourselves to change our own rebellious heart. God does all that. Rebellious hearts are really incomprehensible. Like, you can't do it on your own. Being drawn by God and His Spirit and submitting to that is the way that we undergo the transformation into salvation and righteousness. We have to respond to the internal call because God has been at work since the foundation of the earth, and that's the way He works, internally, not just externally. Salvation is truly by grace alone. And the truth of it should stir you up. It should be unsettling because Jesus didn't speak in parables to settle. It was to stir us up. He wants us to find salvation and life in Him alone, by grace alone. And only through Christ can we find this unshakable, everlasting, eternal gift of salvation. And we're called to win souls, right? Be kingdom builders before the foundation of the earth. And those who answer that call will conquer and do just that. The feast, you know, is a big thing to me because it exemplifies, and there were two wedding events in the Bible where, you know, one is this, the parable of the king who throws a wedding feast for his son, and there was another one that Jesus attended himself. And the one that Jesus attended himself, his mother said, well, look, there's some more wine. Jesus, you know, make it happen. And Jesus was like, well, what does this have to do with me? It's really not my time. But then there was the first miracle that Jesus made happen by turning that, the word, into new one. And it was that time became a now moment. Just because his mother said, come on, Jesus, you can do it. And see, that makes it now. Salvation is now. Those events are now. Even though the word in the Bible was written many years ago, it was inspired by Him, and it is a now word, fresh. It is describing the relationship from the beginning to end that God has with His chosen people whom He called and chose. And that's a great thing. Isn't that an awesome thing? That God draws people in and saves them, guarantees it. And see, we've been given free will, a choice, being made in God's image. And see, God made us men in His image and gave us free will, not just the choice to do anything we want. Free will to make choices that shows God's sovereignty, because God's sovereignty is exemplified through the holy and godly choices that we make to carry out His will. Free will should not ever, that God gave us, should not ever contradict God's sovereignty and His will, because He'll set you up, even though you think you're going to do what you want to do, to carry out His will and His purpose. See, God's will cannot be thwarted because He's sovereign. And mankind also has a will. Sometimes it's to sin, and sometimes it's to do righteous things. And this will is demonstrated in His commands to repent and to choose. See, as being chosen, you have to also choose to answer the call, the invitation to salvation, which is a big thing. This is why Jesus said, come unto me, and why He wept over Jerusalem that refused God's invitation. There is a will that is real, that includes the ability to make decisions, and good decisions. chose, choose, and chosen describes the decisions of both mankind and God in the Bible. Some choices are quite weighty, and those are the ones that include choices to walk in the way the Bible says you should, in righteousness, to exemplify salvation and be an example of a kingdom builder and save souls. So you can't just do it in word. You have to do it in deed also. And God put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them choice. Though the sons of God, whoever they are, say in Genesis, it says they took wives of all that they chose. Several times God talks about the choices that we make. And these questions of how God can exercise his sovereign will while allowing mankind to have a genuine will of his own. The most complex and debated questions are those like, how can God remain sovereign and his will be carried out at the same time that man has his own will or free will? See, when that man that was called out to be bound and cast out of the wedding banquet into darkness and where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth had a choice to dress properly. Several options to understand the relationship of the divine sovereignty and human free will God has given us, several examples of it and options to carry it out. There is much we will never understand, but the Bible teaches that God is sovereign, that he has sovereignty and created humanity with the ability to make real and meaningful decisions, which makes his sovereignty compatible with humanity's ability to make free choices. And he gave us that because he's the God that wants to be chosen. He didn't want us put us in a headlock and make us, you know, fall down and choose him. He wanted to be chosen. He wants the people who reach out and love him because he drew them in and he called them. And he wants us to answer his call internally and sincerely. God spoke everything into physical existence by his power. That was his ultimate first call and God's beginning of a long chain of events that exist, which he put man and gave him free will and told him to govern. God created mankind to be the bearer of his image and to be in relationship with him. And that means mankind's will is guaranteed. At the end of the creation week that God made Adam, all humans were made in the image of God as an example of an image bearer. An image bearer has a responsibility to respect God and his glory, image bearer, called and chosen. The responsibility is followed, pursued, but sometimes neglected or rejected. But it is humanity's responsibility nonetheless to be an image bearer. That's why God created us in his image. Animals and non-living objects cannot rebel against God's sovereignty because they are not created as image bearers and with a will. Us, on the other hand, are able to make real moral decisions for or against God. That's big. So, accepting the call and taking your place as a chosen, which God does guarantee, the chosen will carry out and conquer because your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. that guarantees that you are chosen. If you are called, you are going to be saved, and forever you will not lose your salvation. God won't let it happen if you think that. But there's an illustration that will confirm, called and glorified. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Called is a word to be concerned about. And those whom are called, he also justified. Those whom he justified are also glorified. This was a concern of Abraham also, and Paul. Because Paul means that all that are called are justified, and the justified, therefore, will be glorified, which means you are called and going to be saved forever. You will not lose your salvation. God won't let it happen. But called and rejected, and Matthew talks about he sent out the invitation for all who didn't accept. It's a horrible parable of how we are turning down the wooings of God. Wooings. Woo, to woo you, to come after you, to draw you in. So we need to base our interpretation on that text, not just on the facts that what others have said, and saved, always saved, but to answer the invitation is to guarantee the chosen part of called and chosen. The call goes out, which means to invite, the word call, and refer. Everybody gets the call. And God even sent, the king even sent his servants to beat the bushes and bring people in that were not just Jews, the Gentiles, all. Then, you know, the wedding feast was full of people. And there was one who was there, which was not properly dressed, which signifies the lack of respect for that invitation that person had, and the lack of being changed by the grace was extended to him through the invitation. See, where this person is thrown in that place, there will be. It's out of that place. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Clearly, the called are not always saved. The chosen are saved. So what is clear, that the called is simply a general appeal to the world to come to Jesus. But those who come in response to the call may are going to receive the victory and will be chosen. The effectual calling I'm going to talk about now. Paul used the term called effectual. We know Paul thinks this way too, because Paul knows about this, that the effectual call, that means the effect that the calling has on the person. We preach Christ is crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. So in order, those words, crucified, and a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles, Christ crucified has been heralded to all the Jews and all the Gentiles. They have been invited to come, and they have been called in a general way. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, through Christ and by the power of God and through wisdom, have the opportunity to internalize God calling them by his Spirit. And there's a difference. The difference is a general call that goes out to everyone, and the internal call that people answer. So come. If you're listening and you have accepted the call sincerely to salvation and made God first in your life, accepted Jesus into your heart, start living it and do what you're called to do. Because it doesn't end there just by accepting Christ into your heart. And you just stop there and keep it to yourself. No. There was a call like the call that Jesus issued to Lazarus. And he was standing before his grave when he said, "Lazarus, come out." And a dead man was given life by that call. See, there's a call by that invitation you accept to come out of darkness, out of sin, which therefore God is glorified. These are the answer to the invitation to salvation. And it's big because that creates the obedience. The call creates life. Therefore, all the called will be glorified. Those ones who accepted it, those chosen ones. This is a lesson right now. Called and chosen, there's a work to do. And it's to impact this world and this now time and at this moment. So get up. There could be a lot of Lazarus out there who are in the tomb. And God is standing at your grave, calling you out to come out as a dead man, given life by the call. Receive it and get out of your bed. Get up now and out of whatever situation you're in and accept the call and the responsibility that God has put on your life and giving you an anointing to do what you have to do for him. And it's a great deed to win souls for him, to resurrect the dead, to win a soul that when you accept Jesus Christ in your life and enter your heart and walk the walk through the plan of salvation, you impact those who are dead, who had it, who do not have the gift of eternal life. But we are made in God's image. That is a privilege, a higher thing. It's just not an automatic thing. The chosen and the call, see, God desires those who are called out of this world to be his chosen. But when you don't answer the call, that's not going to happen. When Jesus returns to the earth, the Bible reveals specific description as who will be with him. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That's Revelation 17:14. These three words actually define the saints of God, who they are. Each of these words denotes a different meaning, and it's important to understand what it means to be called, chosen, and faithful. That means all that at the same time. Called in the Greek is kalitos, and it's related to the noun kalesis, God's invitation to men, the call. And it is used especially in God's invitation at that parable. And the where the king had the wedding banquet for his son, but it took and means the benefits of accepting the invitation to salvation. It is interesting because the Greek word for the church, which is ekklesia, meaning called out of. So the church consists of those who are called, invited by God under his plan to repent of their sins and receive the Holy Spirit. It is important to understand that one's calling is an act of God. He only calls and invites someone. And that's quite evident when Jesus told the crowds and John, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." If you accept the call to salvation and you believe in that, you have to know that you know that you know and can't let any, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your name before the foundation of the earth is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are a conqueror, that you are chosen. We are bound to give God thanks always because God, from the beginning, chose us for salvation through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and the belief in the truth, the belief. He called you by the gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So hold fast traditions you were taught by word, the word of our epistle. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:13 to 15. Paul clearly talks about the combined decision of God both to call and to choose. So, which one are you? Just called or you're chosen? If you're chosen, you're both called and chosen at the same time. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted. If you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God and his word promises things. You have to hold on to those promises by faith, through faith, knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that in the end you will not be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, but that you will be cleansed, wearing a garment spotless, and a conqueror who has ran the good fight of faith for Jesus, answered the calling as a chosen, as an elect. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Be faithful to that word right there, because there's responsibility right there and that word, and gives us things to put on as accepting the call. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And that it doesn't say it's easy, but these are things that you have to do, being faithful to the call and being chosen. There, in two senses, the word should be understood, which means to be trusted and reliable. And secondly, active, signifying and believing in the word. That's how we carry it out. But we are supposed to believe actively, obey in God, and rely on God. Faithfully endure both good in good times and in bad times. The called and chosen must be faithful. They must continue to actually believe and obey and rely on God. That's how you receive the victory and conquer. The called and chosen will need to faithfully in good times and bad. The hope of the called and chosen and faithful is to receive eternal life. It's a belief and trust that is deep within each of us. Paul reminded Timothy to lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also cold. The Bible is full of examples of faithfulness of his people, those who look forward to his coming, the coming of him and his kingdom. Despite difficult trials, we should rely on God as they did, and always look to the future because we were called and chosen, and we should be faithful to that death. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus spoke in parable in which someone was invited to a wedding but did not have on a garment. That person had a responsibility to respond to the calling and make spiritual changes in his life. But did. There are symbols that are also found in Revelation 19. And to her, the church, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. See, just accepting the call, it doesn't end there. The chosen do righteous acts, and exemplify the change that God called them into. This change just doesn't take place in a minute. It's over time. We have a duty to exemplify righteousness when we accept the invitation to salvation, to be dressed for the occasion, which symbolically means that we become righteous. And that man didn't do that. So that's why Jesus made the famous statement, many are called, but few are chosen. Therefore, called out ones from sin into righteousness, we must spiritually prepare ourselves and be clothed in righteousness. Prepare yourself. Whatever your calling is and your anointing is, whatever you do as a part of the church, a part of salvation, a part of Christ, as a kingdom builder, and accepting into your heart and knowing that you have been saved, God's got something for you to do. Be diligent in it and make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. 2 Peter 1:10-11, that's what I'm coming from right now. For so the entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One, your calling must not be neglected. When you are neglected, that's you're not accepting Christ. You're not accepting the plan of salvation. Since the called and chosen have exceedingly great and precious promises, it is for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. See, what scripture after scripture backs itself up. It gives you more and more and more information to be able to exemplify the impact that your relationship with God in Christ has on your life. For these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing. See, it's through God and accepting this invitation. Do you accept the invitation? Are you attending? Are you accepting the call of the good news of the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has was God in the flesh? He came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. That his ministry and his death and resurrection guarantees you eternal life by believing in it and accepting it, but then therefore walking in it also. But many of God of all grace who called us into eternal glory by Jesus Christ after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. That's what comes along with it. Suffering. Jesus was persecuted by his own people. The church will suffer much persecution. but you have to remain steadfast, being called and chosen. The will of God is to open our minds to his truth. He wants us to remain faithful to him after our calling so that we can be his chosen, his elect. Sure, life in this world is not easy, but there's hope. And let's be about the business of being called and chosen and faithful at the same time. See, I don't think God walks around in heaven with a big eraser or a pen crossing off and blotting out names. Not when he did something from the foundation of the earth. But you have to think about it that way. Because having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life keeps you from doing what would get you from being erased from it. One who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name from the Lamb's Book of Life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. See, Revelation 3:5 says that God will not erase the person's name from the Lamb's Book of Life. It implies he does not erase people from it, and that the people in it would once be born again, justified, saved, and nevertheless in the end, they won't be condemned, lost, or perish. They will not lose their salvation. I will not erase his name from the Book of Life. It implies that some may have their names erased, but I will never wipe your name out. In other words, being erased is a fearful prospect, but God will not allow it to happen to those who persevere. There are two other passages in Revelation that teach that your name in the Lamb's Book of Life means that you will most definitely persevere and conquer, thus meet the conditions to not be blotted out. It says that those who worship the beast will be amazed by it, and all who dwell on the earth who will worship the beast, everyone whose name who's not been written before the foundation of the world in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, who was slain. See, now that verse teaches that those whose names are written in the book will definitely not worship the beast. It says that, in other words, having your name in the Book of Life before the foundation of the world means God will keep you from folly. He will cause you to persevere in alliance to him. Being in that book, you will not apostatize. You will not forsake the faith. Revelation 17:8 says, the beast that you saw and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go into destruction, and the dwellers on the earth whose name have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. Now that means having your name in the book of life means he will keep you from marveling at the beast. Those whose names are not written in the book of life will marvel at the beast, and those whose names are in it will not. It is an infallible, as far as the word is saying, that those whose names are in the book won't be worshiping the beast. So to have your name written is effective. It keeps you from making a shipwreck of your faith. If you worship the beast, your name's not there. If your name's in that book, you will not worship the beast. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. There's a guarantee that you won't be lost. Being in that book keeps you from doing what
would get you erased if you did it. So let us not be cavalier about persevering. God uses real warnings to keep us vigilant. Vigilant and accepting the call, carrying it out as his chosen one. See, you can be called and chosen at the same time. Work out your own fear and your own salvation and fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. If you conquer, God will not erase your name. And then to state to the assurance, if your name is there, you will definitely conquer. See, that's not a contradiction. God's written down ones who will really and must conquer, and they really will. They must and they will. You must, because we have the right responsibility. God, and it's a highlight of God's sovereignty that you will. Never, never, never be cavalier or trifling about your perseverance. God uses real warnings to keep us vigilant, to keep us persevering, to keep us on track, to keep us safe so that we are not careless. See, you'll get it when you answer the internal call. So press on to make salvation your own. Press is an active, it takes energy, it takes push, it takes movement to press in to what God's called you to do, to press into that. Press towards the might mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, the high thing. We're high. We were made in his image, and we have a calling and a responsibility to do higher things. If you don't know what your calling is in God, get on your knees and get a profound stirring up in your spirit, and God will reveal to you what you are meant to do as a kingdom builder. You are not supposed to be laying dormant, not doing nothing, as one who has been called by God and out of darkness and into a ministry that will win souls and build his kingdom for his return. Don't just show up, but sincerely put on a garment of righteousness when you actively accept that call and invitation to salvation. It's a gift and very easy to accept. But you got to follow through it with the responsibility of knowing by faith you have the responsibility to exemplify righteousness. Not perfection. We're not perfect. We're not ever going to be, especially by our own hand. Not at all. Only through faith can we do things that Christ did and greater. Because there are going to be people in hell that say, didn't I do this and didn't I do that and didn't I do that? And what makes us different is we didn't just do things. We sincerely in our heart were able to conquer and persevere through his word. And then do things for, you know, the visual and the spiritual. God is a visual person. He didn't just raise the hill. People who didn't walk, heal the lame, and heal the blind, make the blind see, you know, just because he did it for others to see. But he did it. He gets the glory at the end of the day. And our gift is eternal life. Our name being rewritten from the foundation of the earth. Did you know? What's stopping you? There are many, many, many Hall of Famers, the biblical, scriptural Hall of Fame, that weren't perfect, that God called out of a moment, and they were obedient and changed their lives, made them choose. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Disobedience and rebellion will keep you from answering the invitation. Not right now. I'm not doing that. I don't want to go right now. I'm not going because I don't feel like dressing up. See, eventually, see, you don't have to prepare and dress up prior to accepting Christ into your heart. He'll clean you up once you do. Come as you are right now. He'll do the rest. Because God is drawing you, if you're listening to this right now. He desires to impact your heart and make a big statement to be victorious in your life and show himself as the one God, the one true and living God. And the glory is being able to see it going on in somebody else's life, and you see that and you want that. Not in a material, superficial way, but in a spiritual way. I want God to deal with me too. Don't store up or want anything, you know, earthly, because what's more impacting in your life is what you up in heaven spiritually. Your treasures should not be here on earth because those things will pass away. Those things you cannot take with you. What's heavenly and where your desires are, where your heart is, that's what makes the difference. Heavenly things and eternal things don't pass away. These things here do. As time will, if you do not heed the call or the invitation to salvation. And it's right now. It's a now thing. God means now. Get up. Get out of your bag. Start with witnessing. Testifying. Start absorbing the word, not just reading it. Let your heart be in it and invite God into your heart to change it around. Because you can't do it on your own. The word is a very literal thing, and it's also medicine to fix everything going on in your life. It's possible. When you're chosen, when you're called and you accept the call, get in your heart that you're chosen, that your name has been written before the foundation of the earth. Those are things that are done before the foundation of the earth. You cannot undo. It either is or it isn't. So cut your losses now and be a winner. Boom. God's calling is now. His word is now. Salvation is now. Are you chosen? Or just... did you receive the invitation? Did you leave it in your mailbox? Did you tear it up? Did you say anything to them? Did you say I'm not coming? Well, here it is again, another one. I hope my mom ends with an altar call that you get everyone that's listening that has not received Jesus Christ into their heart. And asked him to come in and change their life so that they can be, you know, dressed in righteousness and proper, you know, for the banquet, the receiving the invitation and showing up. Because at the end of the day, if you do, you will. You have a guarantee on that. You have a promise. God is working on hearts. And he's a numbers man, too. So see, there's something going on within the earth right now that is separating the wheat from the tares. Numbers are dwindling. People are dying in sin. So get ready. God's calling you now. God's changing things now.
People are dying now. It's getting very close to that hour where he's coming back. And he's coming for his chosen, the ones he called and accepted, the sincere acceptance of the invitation to salvation. Because we all going up here, you know, to when he cracks that sky, we're all going to be there. We have no choice. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord on that day, even if you didn't or don't today. So right now, I just ask God to bless those who are listening to his word, who have been called and chosen to push for and vigilantly conquer. That we go after those souls that need to be saved, like we went after those things of the world we did when we were just as swiftly and eagerly. There were things we used to do as sinners that we went after, that we showed up for. Now, as saved, kings transformed and righteous, we have to be more vigilant. If you showed up to the party, you got to show up for the church. You got to show up for church. You got to show up for prayer. You got to show up for God. You got to do everything just or even more diligently than you did when you weren't saved, for those things that the devil wanted you to do. God's calling you now. This is an hour where many are called, but few are chosen. Now you're thinking, like, what's my mind? Don't doubt it. You know. If you're internally accepting the invitation, if you can internalize that thing and not just see it as an external invitation, the altar call is an external thing. The internalized acceptance of going down to it is where you get the blessing. Understand that. God's revealing that now. There's a victory in being called into and faithful. That's three words. Called, chosen, and faithful. And his word provides the promise and seals it as to be true from beginning to end. The repercussion of doing God's will by the act of him giving you free will to make righteous choices are his blessings.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So I'm just going to close with Philippians 3:12. I'm going to read that, find that real quick. Philippians 3:12. Philippians 3:12. I'm just going to turn to it real quick. Guys, bear with me. I'm sorry. I apologize. God just gave me Philippians 3:12 to read. It says,
I have it.
Okay, great.
Not that I have already ordained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That was from the NIV. You want me to read it from the King James?
Well, I have some versions now, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. See,
Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of Christ Jesus. Amen. See, God does the drawing in, and not because you're there already or you have arrived or you're already perfect. But now your answer to it is to make every effort to take hold of his righteousness. Put it on because you've been taken hold by Jesus Christ. I once was lost, but now I'm found. It doesn't say I once was lost, but I'm found. I'm found. See, somebody found you. You didn't find it. This is your future I'm talking about. And it's now, it's right now. Future of death and or eternal life. Called and chosen, or just being called. Which one is you? I thank God for this moment. I'll just ask his healing, saving power go out for the nations listening. Every ear right now, Lord God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, and I ask the masses to embrace your word, to repent right now, turn away from sin, accept the call, and be chosen and faithful to your word. 2, judgment day, for the day that you return, Lord Jesus, right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you can repeat this prayer after me. Say it from your lips, but say it from your heart, which is really important. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for Calvary. Forgive my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. It's that simple. So if you said this from your heart, then now you are part of the kingdom of God. You have just become born again and you gave your life to Christ. Get a Bible, read the Gospel of John, and I'm sure God will lead you to a church where he can use you for his glory. So thank you, Minister Shawnee, for that message, called and chosen. I was blessed. I'm sure all the listeners were blessed, those that called in and streamed in. And, of course, you have an open invitation to do your own broadcast at any time since I own the station and God provides for it. So thank you, Shawnee. You've been a blessing tonight. Father, thank you for Shawnee.
Yeah.
Camp your holy angels around her. Strengthen her, return to her the energy, the strength that she gave out. Lord God, return it to her in the name of Jesus. Continue to cause her to walk what she's preaching. And Lord, bless her household. Bless my grandsons. Bless her husband in the name of Jesus. Cover them in the blood of Jesus and use them all for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Kazris, wishing you a great night in the Lord and asking God to bless you and keep you. Only what you do for Christ will last. Remember that, no matter what you're about to do. I think today people don't think about what they say and do that hurts others. And I'm sure when you hurt a child of the Lord, you're hurting him. So even though we have to forgive everyone that has hurt us, only what you do for Christ will last. Think before you say anything. Think before you do anything that has to do with another person. We want to give God glory in everything we say and do. Thank you for joining us. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry and just scroll down through 12 pages of ministry. There's 10 ministry podcasts on every page. God bless you. Have a blessed night. God bless you. Have a blessed night. I don't know who just called in, but we're closing out the broadcast now. Thank you for joining us. We believe that every listener gave their life to Christ if they weren't already saved. And remember, again, only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you. Good night.